Well, we are privileged this morning to have some guests with us from Kenya, visiting in the States right now, Philip and Catherine. And Philip and Catherine, maybe the first place to start is they are Sammy's parents. If you all know Sammy, who's been here with us, these would be his parents. But Philip is also director of Regions Beyond. Did I get that right? I left my notes at home, so I'm going to have to do this off the top of my head, which at my age is a bit of a problem, but we'll see how it goes. He's the director of Regions Beyond, which is a ministry to students, high schools, colleges as well. He travels a lot with that, discipling young people, which is close to my heart as well, and I appreciate the desire for that. How long have you been doing that, Philip? 30-some years, all right. Abraham and Philip knew each other back in Kenya. In fact, Abraham has served as part of the board with Regions Beyond and has also been part of helping teach with that ministry as well. So we're privileged to have them here with us. Philip, if you'd like to come and come up, and I will pray with you to bring the message. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to hear from our brother and his wife. I pray that you would just open our hearts to hear what you would have to say to us this morning. We just are thankful for the reminder of how your kingdom is large. It's across the whole world, Lord, and we get the opportunity to hear from those who are working out your kingdom in another part of the world. And we just thank you for that opportunity and ask your blessing as they share with us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Bwana asifiwe. Have they taught you that yet? In Kenya, to say praise the Lord, we say Bwana asifiwe. You want to try that? Bwana asifiwe. Oh, you are good. So, Bwana asifiwe.
Bwana asifiwe.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I love the Lord as my Savior, and the last time I was in this area was more than 10 years ago, and I appreciate the privilege of the Lord allowing us to be sharing with you this morning. I bring you greetings from Kenya. And in Kenya, when somebody brings you greeting, you wave to receive the greetings. So I bring you greetings from Kenya. Bwana asifiwe. Very good. And as he ends the service, he will ask you for greetings, and you have to still give him like this. That's how we give greetings. We receive greetings by waving, and that's how we receive. We also take greetings back home. So we want to appreciate your warm fellowship that we have enjoyed since we got here the day before yesterday. We have been with your pastor. We've been with Lucy and her family. We've been with Abraham and his family. And we are grateful that they found a home right here together with our son. And we want to say thank you. So as we hear the sharing of the word of God this morning, I want to encourage our hearts to look to God. Our accent is different, but the Lord speaks to us, even with the different accents. So let's lift our hearts to God this morning and receive the word of the Lord. The Lord bless you.
Thank you. Okay, let's try it. Bwana asifiwe. Let's upgrade that one and say, when I say Bwana asifiwe, then you say amen. Bwana asifiwe. Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's see how many. If I was speaking at a church in Kenya, most likely I will have an interpreter. Somebody who would speak in the local language, because I would speak in English or Swahili, and then they would interpret that into another tribal language. So you never have an English service like this, unless you just have English speakers, and that's a very rare thing. So I am missing a person next to me who would be speaking another language. Let me find out how many languages we have here by you saying, praise the Lord, in your language. Maybe it's Spanish, and maybe it's Swahili. I will ask Naomi to be Swahili today, and then I ask Abraham to be the other tribal language, whichever it is, he will tell us. Okay, let's begin where? You want to tell us, praise the Lord, in the language you know how?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Excellent. Uh-huh. Say that again.
Amen.
And what language is that?
Kikuyu.
That's Kikuyu. So other than English, Abraham speaks Kikuyu. And he's more comfortable with that. I hope so. I'm looking for some other. Oh, excellent. Mwea ya taiwe. Mwea ya taiwe. What language is that? That's Kikamba. In Kenya, we have something close to 43 tribal languages. So she's saying, Mwea ya taiwe. That's praise the Lord. And you imagine we are gathering in heaven and we are all saying praise the Lord in our different languages. That would gonna be beautiful. That would be beautiful. Amen. Africans have a story that one time a monkey wanted to cross a river. And so he talked to a crocodile and said, Mr. Crocodile, please, may I ride on your back and take me to the other side of the river? I said, okay, come on. So the monkey got on the back of the crocodile, and halfway the river, the crocodile said, oh, I'm missing lunch. I want to eat monkey's heart. Say, oh, okay. So the monkey said, oh, okay. Sorry, crocodile. I left my heart on the top of the tree. I forgot my heart. Say. So the monkey had left his heart out there, but has his body on the crocodile. And I have not quite adjusted. So my body may be in Africa, but my heart is here. And I was wondering which part of the Bible to go to, because for most of you, you've been in church all years. And maybe you have heard all kinds of sermons. So I said, well, let me speak about my friend Abraham. Because you know Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we are introduced to a person called Abram. And most of us do not know much about Abram. We know much about Abraham. Why he is Abraham is because he got into a covenant relationship with God. And in those days, if you got into a covenant relationship with God, or with anybody else for that matter, you would exchange names. Your name will be part of his name, and his name would be part of his name. So, Abram established a covenant with God, or the other way around, really. It's God who made a covenant with Abram. And God said, you will no longer be Abram, you will be Abraham. Thank you are not sleeping on me. And God became the God of? That's how we know God. He became God of Abraham, because Abraham became Abraham. That is the friendship, that was the relationship that began in Genesis chapter 12. And it began by God coming into Abram and calling him. He said, Abram, get out of here. Go to a place I will show you. Okay. Now, when you read Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching, he gives us some little background of where Abraham lived with his father, Terah, and his uncle, Nahor. And he tells us the kind of religion that they were practicing. Also in Joshua chapter 24, when Joshua was summarizing the history of Israel, he also alluded to the kind of life that Abram lived before he became the friend of God and became Abraham. Abram was not a church person. He didn't go to church. He didn't worship Jehovah. He didn't know Jehovah. He didn't know the true God. He worshipped idols. He was an idol worshiper. That was the religion of his father or his parents and the people around where he lived. And so God comes and calls Abram. A very irreligious person. Other than the Kenyan Abraham, do we have other Abrahams here? No other Abrahams. You don't like Abraham? Yeah. I mean, in our setups, we have the kind of names we like. Because names describe your history, may sometimes give us your character. And if you say a certain names, I start thinking good things about you or bad things about you. Now, at home, when, you know, we have these many tribes, and if you say you come from a certain tribe, you know, you by simply saying, I am Batyr, you would know, that's the wrong tribe. I mean, we kind of, you know, stratify or kind of group people. And this happens all over. So if you say, my name is, you say, oh, okay. And where do you come from? No, Abram may not be the name we would like to have. Maybe he may not be the place where we would like to have our girls get married. That family of Abram? No. If your girl comes, your daughter comes and says, Daddy, I have found a boyfriend. Where is he from? From Abram. Say, no. That kind of a family, we don't interact. We don't, no. But God came to Abram and called him. You know, in theology, we are told that the Old Testament is about laws and commandments. But the call of Abraham was a call of grace. It's because Abraham didn't belong to the right tribe. He was not a weaver or a miller, my friend Levi. I saw him and I remembered him 10 years ago. Good man. I mean, Abraham was not a weaver. He was not a Levi. He was not a bondrigger. He was not the guy you would have in church. But God came and called him into a relationship that for us as Gentile people have benefited a lot. Because it is through the seed of Abraham we were included in Abraham's blessings. So Abraham was called by God by grace alone. And God began a relationship with him. And the entire Bible revolves around the covenants that God established with Abraham. And let's make our first point. God calls people by grace. We are called, and our backgrounds and our histories, for some people, they may not be the right kind of histories. Yeah? A friend of mine tricked his church. He really played on them games. He asked a professor of religion to dress up like a street woman and come to church. She dressed up like a street person. So she dressed up funny and she came like drunk to church. And people looked and said, and she walked, came to, now let me use my friend Levi in here. He came to a seat next to Levi, and Levi moved from there right here, because you don't want to mix up with those kinds of people. They are the wrong kinds of people in church. And then the woman walked right here, and the pastor, of course the pastor knows what's happening. And this woman had asked her professor, a colleague professor, to come and document the reaction of Christians in church. So the professor was sitting there making notes how they received her. And you know, sometimes we think God, the grace of God, cannot reach certain people. But out of his wisdom and out of his great love, he reaches to some of us who are not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy to be speaking to you this morning. I speak funny English. And some of you have just to look, to incline this way, to hear me. Some of you don't like the way I dress. This is the way we dress. This is the way preachers dress at home. I can't dress like Rob. No. No, that's not good for pastor on Sunday morning. This is the way you dress when you come to church. And maybe some of you are already offended because I'm dressed up like this. Please, the grace of God reached me where I am, where I was, and brought me into the family of God. And I'm so blessed to be part of this family of God. And you and I have assignments to love each other, to accommodate one another, to be comfortable with this other family of God. And that's the rest of us. God called Abram and established an everlasting relationship. And God has called some of you. You know it. You've been walking with him for many years. You can be described as a friend of God. You've known him. It's deep-seated in your heart. Yes, he's your friend. Some of you are struggling with that relationship. Let me remind us that God still knocks at people's hearts and he calls them. Really, the Bible doesn't tell us what Abraham heard. What the call of God to Abraham, how did it come? The Bible doesn't describe that for us. But we know it was clear to Abraham. He knew what God was telling him. And Abraham responded positively. And for Abraham, it was to change from his village, move from this village. And you know, God calls us sometimes to leave certain things. He calls us to leave certain relationships because he wants to have us. He wants to walk with us. And it's not possible for us to take our baggages with us and still be friends with him. So God does call people to be able to say no to this and be able to say no to this. If I'm going to be a friend of God, I must leave certain things. You cannot have him and have the world. You cannot have God and have the pleasures of the world. We must hear. And every person that God calls, he asks them to leave some things. Forget them. If you want to be closer to you, then you have to be farther and farther away from those things. And when God, you know, when Abraham responded to the call of God, God came and said and made promises. And please, if you'd like to check with me in Genesis chapter 12, beginning verse 1, 2, and 3, please check the commitment that God makes to Abraham by the two words he uses, I will. I will. God is not asking Abraham to do so much. He says, please walk before me and be you perfect. Walk with me. Be faithful. Get closer to me. Love me. Be committed to me. And when Abraham responded that way, God made unconditional promises. And he said, I will do this. I will. Seven things that God promises Abraham in that, you know, in that passage. Let me pick out one. Maybe that will help us wind up our service. He says, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Okay. God called Abraham and he said, one of the things I want to do with you, Abraham, is to bless you. And after I bless you, I will make you a blessing. Okay, let's try that. Bwana asifiwe. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Great. So Abram is promised by God that I will bless you. And the purpose for me blessing you is that you can be a blessing to other people. Yeah. Why God gives us his grace in abundance, why God pours his riches into our lives, why God gives us the gifts that he has given us that make us a blessing to other people. The things that God bestows to us, they're not just to pump us and make us whatever, is that we can reach out and be a blessing to other people. And when you think of a family, this family of God that meets here, when you think of that, and that you have responded to God, I want to believe that God, in his commitment to you, has blessed you. He has endowed you with certain things that other people do not have. You're such a unique person, part of this fellowship. Why did God do that? Is that he will make you a blessing. Why are you here? Is that you can be a blessing to somebody. You know, we become so selfish. We become so self-centered. We think we are the center of the universe. Everything must revolve around me. You know, we have perfected the me religion. You know it? You know, the I and me, all that. It's all around me. And we think people should simply run to me and do things to me. Not really. When God calls people, he makes them a blessing. And that's what Jesus did in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible tells us that he called the 12 disciples that they be with him, that he can teach them, and that he can send them out. He called them that he can make them I believe that's what God is out to do with us. He gathers you around here. He makes you part of this fellowship and the prayer groups or whatever, home fellowships, whatever. God is out to make you into something. You know, he sent Jeremiah into a porter's house. And Jeremiah went and he was told, I want you just to go and sit there and see what I'm going to do with people of God, the Israel. And Jeremiah sat there and he saw the potter work on that, you know, do his pottery and all that. He says, that's what I want to do with you. God gifts us and we bring those gifts into this family that we can be a blessing. It's one of your presidents, one of your older presidents who is quoted saying that don't ask what America will do for you. Ask what you can do for America. When God makes you a blessing, you come into this church looking for something to do, not for asking, what can the church do for me? Because God sent you here that you can be a blessing. The call of God begins with salvation. And it becomes so clear to you that you know him. And then after you know him, he begins to make you. It will be a great joy to be part of a fellowship that, you know, it's clear to you that, wow, I'm not just going to church, but I have a personal relationship with God. And that becomes a doorway for God to start making you. A friend said to a friend and told him, you know, after a debate and a lot of argument, said, you know, you could miss heaven with 18 inches. Say, what do you mean? The distance between here and here, you want to go home and measure it. Some of us know so much about him, about God, and it just stays up here. Some of us need to allow it to trickle down so that it can change our hearts. And our hearts can be Godward. We can face God's direction. And only that can God start working and say, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. May the Lord bless each one of us and may he make us that great blessing because we have a personal relationship with him. Amen. God bless. Amen. Amen.